You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Francisco Giants. I am Allison Slitter from MLB.com, and I am joined in a second by my colleague Chris Hatch, who covers the Giants for MLB.com. And as we are looking toward the last couple of weeks of the regular season, the Dodgers and Giants, of course, are locked at the top of the division and trying to win it. And while the Giants are really within a stone's throw of taking over the division lead, they're also trying to fight off quite a few teams that are trying to catch them in the wild card race. So as we all know, with the new format, it's a lot easier to keep playing in October late if you are not the wild card team. So this could be a very interesting race to the finish. And let's bring in Chris. I liked your rundown on nine things I could factor into what happens with the Giants, kind of a make-or-break time for them right now. And I guess the really cool thing, I mean, for fans that are sort of watching this from the outside and are not living and dying with every single game, is the fact that these two teams are going to play each other six times. And so a lot could happen. I mean, the Dodgers right now are in first place, but that could change on a dime if the Giants have to go on some kind of tear when they meet up with the Dodgers.
Allison, you're absolutely right. That's why these guys aren't corny or whatever as it may sound. They're not giving up. They would have to win, of course, probably four of those six games against the Dodgers, maybe even five, to really make a dent in the Dodgers' lead, and to do it, without requiring help from other teams. And even then, they'd need a little bit of help. And of course, they probably have to beat Clayton Kershaw twice, at least once, because he'll pitch in this weekend series here. I'm not sure about the series down there, but beating Clayton Kershaw twice in the space of 10 days, I don't know. But they're going to try, and at least as you mentioned, they do have the wild card to fall back on. Of course, they'd rather not have to fall back, as a couple of players said to me. We're not in this to finish fifth, but. That's the way the playoff system, the postseason system, has developed, and it's better than nothing, as far as they're concerned.
It's funny to just when Kershaw pitches, and like in his last start, he gave up his first hit like in the third or fourth inning, and the stadium all groaned, like thinking, "Oh shoot, we're not going to see a no hitter." that's crazy that every time he takes them out, there's like a really, really good chance that you might be seeing some history base. So I guess trying to beat him twice, I mean, it does sound a little bit funny at this point that it would even happen, even though stranger things have happened, I guess.
Oh, it's so far-fetched. they've beaten him in the past. It's usually low-scoring games, obviously. I think the only time I've ever seen Clayton Kershaw get, downright pummeled was the final game of the NLCS last year. I mean, otherwise, he's, either he loses – it's 2-1 or 1-0, or he'll get a no decision, seven innings, two runs or something like that. So the Giants did win a game against LA that he started earlier this year, and they were successful in the way they succeeded against them was working the count, taking a lot of pitches, trying to be patient. And that's fine and dandy, except so often, of course, he gets you to play his game. That's the thing. But, I mean, I imagine they'll revert back to that May strategy, when they do face him here in the next, this weekend and maybe the week after.
Yeah, it's funny because from, like, the outsiders such as myself and other people that are not in San Francisco watching the Giants play, we look at AT&T Park as, like, this, like, amazing – I mean, it is an amazing ballpark, this great atmosphere, beautiful setting. But the Giants just thrive, and they love to play there, and all these wonderful things happen, and – as you pointed out, they were terrible at home for 2 months. I mean, this wasn't like some small sampling. They lost 22 of 29 games at home for over 2 months. And now they've kind of righted that ship a little bit. So was that baffling? I mean, I know we talked about it a long time ago, but when you look back on that, just because of how much that ballpark really does work to the Giants' advantage in so many factors, but besides mostly because just the crowds are amazing and they're in it from, till the very last out, and that has to give them a boost. But to look back on that, it's not surprising now that they've kind of figured it out, but that it lasted that long.
Yeah, well, as you almost positive factors you point out about the park, They are indeed valid. The thing is, a lot of hitters hate hitting here. I don't know if hate's too strong a word, but it gets inside some of these guys' heads. You know, they'll hit one well to left center or right center, and it ends up in somebody's glove, or they get a double out of it where they feel like they should have gotten a home run. So I think maybe that attitude for the guys on this team who don't like or who would find playing here a challenge, I think that attitude kind of crested, if you will, during that 22 losses in 29 games phase. But now that they've started to win a few more, I think people are being a little more positive about the whole experience. And you know what? My feeling is, I know I've never played professional ball, of course, but my feeling is if you can't hit a home run, take the double, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I think that when you look at the team as a whole and how well they've been playing lately, I mean, Buster Posey, it's not surprising that his numbers that he's been producing lately are pretty much coinciding with the Giants starting to win some games. He's been just ridiculous, off the charts ridiculous in the last couple of weeks, which is kind of what this team needs. I mean, they have to have Buster, but they don't need him hitting .493, which I'm assuming will probably even out, you know, eventually. But he's one of the guys, he's one of the two that I really want to talk about, Buster Posey being the one that you depend on, that this team might have to have, putting up these great numbers. Then Angel Pagan is a guy who doesn't attract a lot of attention, but when you take him out of the equation, as they had to when he was hurt, that's when things started falling apart. So those two are, like, kind of on opposite sides, yet their contributions are just vital to this team.
Yeah, Allison, as you know, every team needs its big guys. Down the stretch particularly, and Buster's coming through at the right time for them. It's remarkable how his numbers the last few weeks mirror the numbers that he put up during the second half of the year in 2012 when he won the National League MVP award. In fact, I think he's probably snuck onto the ballots of a few MVP voters, maybe not necessarily in number one, but you know, certainly in the top 10, and I think he'll get some support there in the MVP balloting. But they're gonna continue to need him here these last 2 weeks or so. Angel Pagan, the Giants learned last year exactly how much he meant to the offense when they missed him for 80 some games with a hamstring after undergoing hamstring surgery. Instantly, when he came back, even though they were already out of it by then, the offense started to click, and so that's another guy who is going to have to they'll come through for them. The thing is about this lineup, it is deep, deeper than maybe a lot of the lineups they've had in the past. They still have, you talk about Posey and Pagan, but there's also Buster Pence, Pablo Sandoval, and rookie Joe Panic at second base has been a real find. So their offense is pretty healthy right now.
Now, when you look at Tim Hudson, I just think he's just such a great story, obviously. I didn't realize he's never had a sub-500 season in his entire career, which is just remarkable. And it might be headed there this year. He's a game under .500 right now. But just his steady hand and his experience, I mean, anybody who's been around him understands why he's a leader, regardless of where he goes. And he can be a really vital kind of anchor in that clubhouse, I would think, this time of year.
He can, and he's so consistent. He's so even-keeled in his demeanor, and he's consistent and even-keeled on the mound. No matter what his one-loss record is, I think if you looked at the team's record in his starts, which, frankly, I don't know offhand, but I'm pretty darn sure it's over .500. You know, over the years, he's had lot of notice issues. I actually covered him for one season with the A's in 2004, and I remember a conversation I had with him early in spring training. He just kind of shrugged off his bad luck about not getting more wins and getting a lot of no decisions. But just about all those no decisions were games that the Athletics won. So he wasn't he didn't feel remorseful or regretful about that at all.
Well, I would say that, just looking at the schedules of all the teams and going, it's going to go down to the last weekend. I mean, how can it not, right? And I still think, I don't know, I still have a feeling that the Giants are going to be clawing and scratching to try to win that division. But I think they probably have to feel pretty confident at this point that a postseason berth is more likely to happen than is it. I mean, there's a lot of teams right now that are that have been, you know, in cruise control and have absolutely been at the top of the standing somewhere and are just completely falling apart right now. And you can kind of feel like the A's and the Brewers, you can kind of feel that they're just, like, clenched really tightly. I think that the Giants sort of feel differently. They're like, okay, good, things are coming together right at the right time, and, you know, we're feeling good, and we seem to be healthy. Is that kind of the impression that you get?
Yes, but they're not overconfident. They're not overconfident. They are, however, extremely, poised and positive when they go out there. But as people know, Bruce Bochy, their manager, as a lot of people know, Bruce Bochy, their manager, isn't going to let them get overconfident. Bochy's been around. He's been around 10 winners, and of course, he managed them to their two World Series in 2010 and 2012. You know, when they had to come from behind, 2010. Came from behind in the regular season to win the division and reach the postseason. 2012, they came from behind in both the division series and LCS to win those series and advance to the World Series. So they know that if they can do it, other teams are capable of all of a sudden gelling and jamming each other here and passing them up. So they're not going to – I don't see this team giving up or lightening up or easing up at all until they've clinched something.
Yeah. Everybody kind of looks at them as the little engine that could, even though they always have parts that seem to get to put it all together by the end. So we will keep our eye on it. And thanks, Chris. We'll talk to you next week.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.